No, I usually have a lot more love for the later day picks just because they tend to pan out better under Lynch drafting them in. Yeah, they're easier to root for.
Yeah, man. I my tune on the Cowboys draft, I'll just finish up the Tyler Guyton point and then I'll turn you loose on 49er business. You know, I was one of those guys, and man, I still can't even tell you. Maybe it was Sharif Floyd was the guy that year, but the year that the Travis Frederick draft, I'm like, man, what are they doing? But then they drafted Travis Frederick and you realize, all right, this dude might already be the best center in the league as a rookie. Like, he's in that conversation. And you throw in, you know, Tyron Smith, Zach Martin. And that is legitimately when the Cowboys had the best offensive line in football. And I'm like, you know what? If you want to take a guard center, if you're drafting back in the 20s and you're drafting, if you're drafting Zach Martin or Travis Frederick, I don't mind taking a guard or center with your first round pick. They had options, man. I really like the idea of Graham Barton. I did. That was a safer pick than Tyler Guyton. But like we talked about with Nick the other day too, I think Tyler Guyton, the ceiling, man, is just so freaking enticing that I think it's worth the gamble.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I know you're not a big Tyler Guyton proponent, and that's cool. I got no problem with that. And look, I'm not, like I said, this could be a guy that's off your roster in 2 or 3 years, legitimately. Or he could be a decade-long starter. I don't know. I don't think Tyler Guyton just strikes me, Jordan, as one of those guys. I don't think he's going to be like, oh, he's not going to have like an okay NFL career. It's like, you know what? He played 8 years in the league and was solid. No, I think it's either one or the other.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I feel you. He does seem very boom or bust for a prospect.
What about Ricky Pearsall? What does Ricky Pearsall seem like?
Dog. Oh, my God. First of all, like earlier in the from when we got off the show to when the draft starts at 7-ish or whatnot, All I see on Twitter is that the 49ers are actively shopping Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, right? And that they're trying to trade into the top 10 using one of those guys as like the main trade piece. And my thing was like, all right, there's absolutely no way they can get a top 10 pick for either Ayuk or Deebo as the main component.
Well, what did they want? Did they want was it to get an offensive tackle or another receiver?
I don't know. And that's another, I assume receiver. That's another reason why I was like, this is stupid. But if they were able to pull it off and get a receiver, I would have liked it because like it, Ayuk or Deebo for a top 10 pick, like, hell yeah, sign me up. Obviously, they would have had to give more up for that.
Yeah.
But if that was the main component, I would have been happy with it, right?
Yeah.
But so, I don't know. You know, I'm very curious to what they're going to draft at 31 as it's kind of coming down the pipe. Hadn't paid a ton of attention to who the 49ers were bringing in on visits and whatnot just because they picked 31st. And yeah. I assume they weren't going to go receiver up until yesterday, so... Man, when I heard Ricky Pearsall's name get called, dog. Oh, my God. Like, you're telling me we're going receiver, but two, you're going with that guy when A.D. Mitchell, Malachi Corley, Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman, Troy Franklin are all still there, too.
Yeah, man.
That's the one you want. And, like, look, C.J. Stroud's reaction does make me feel a little bit better. I'm not going to lie. Because he wanted the Texans to get Pearsall, but it was just like, God damn! Like, where was he supposed to go in the second round originally? You couldn't have just traded back and got him then. So I don't know. I thought the Bills, they moved back. They're now at 33, right?
Yeah, Buffalo has the first pick in the first round today. Yeah.
Yeah, hey, shout out to this dude. He was the only fan I saw the whole draft when they panned to the fans in the stands, at least on – I kept switching between all the networks. When they panned to the fans in the stands, all of them kept cheering, and I'm like, there's no way you were happy with this. They definitely have someone behind the camera that's like, all right, you have to cheer and be excited. So the Pearsall one, when the dude just started going through it, I was like, I feel you, man.
Okay. Man. So, yeah, you know, we talked about it yesterday, man. Your San Francisco 49ers have not had a great history of drafting first-round picks with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch.
Hell no. They're 2-7. They're 2-7.
They've had a lot of misses. But like you said, they're day 2 and on picks usually tend to hit. So we'll see what happens with the Niners. But look, man, did you hear – I don't know if you heard it, but did you hear Jerry Jones last night getting carried away with Jonathan Brooks?
Yeah, I was like, dude, you are a dumb ass. Like, what are you doing?
As
like,
God is my witness, if he screwed that up and if Jonathan Brooks ends up with the effing Philadelphia Eagles, I might break something in my office tonight because he's a – dude, he's a kid from – don't tell me this wasn't Jonathan Brooks' dream. A kid from Hallettsville – who goes on to Texas and then can be drafted by the Cowboys to play running back for the Dallas Cowboys. And if Jerry Jones just sabotaged this thing, as to use CB's word in the chat, because he just couldn't basically, you know, his desk raises up 6 inches every time he thinks about Jonathan Brooks. If he sabotaged this thing, I'll be pissed beyond belief.
Yeah, no, I didn't hit up Nick because I know he's busy, but I can't wait to hear his thoughts on that. And it's like, as someone who actively pokes fun at the Cowboys and their fans, like, when do we get to the point where it's – because obviously it's not like someone can just be like, all right, Jerry, like, you're too senile. You know what I mean?
Exactly, man.
But it's like when does it get to the point where, you know what I mean? Because it's like, not only is he probably going to fumble the bag with this Jonathan Brooks shit and just convince every other team to pick him ahead of the Cowboys.
Yeah.
But earlier in the week when he's like, yeah, the Cowboys are picking 24th because we're 24th best.
Dude, he
– and it was just like, bro, like, what?
Every time I hear – and look, man, Jerry's getting up there in years. And it's one of those deals where, like you said, he owns the team. Nobody's going to tell him to shut up. It ain't been that way since 1989 when he bought the damn thing. But I do wonder, I'm like, man, I know they like their jobs, but do like Will McClay and Mike McCarthy, and it's different for Steven, right? Because it's his dad. But like, do Will McClay and Mike McCarthy, are they just sitting up there like, do they just zone out while Jerry's talking and then just pick it back up, like completely ignore him? But like, Will McClay had to do damage control. He's like, well, there's actually a lot of guys we like in the second round. I'm like, no. Your organization has done a really piss poor job starting at the top of letting it be known that, like, that's why, like, I know we had Nick on and he talked about, like, it has been no secret from the star that the Cowboys love Jonathan Brooks. They want Jonathan Brooks. And Nick even said it, the other day when he was on.
Yeah, he's at 56, they're taking him.
Well, Nick said, he's like, I don't know if he's going to be there at 56. I'm like, really? I'm like, well, at this point, the Cowboys are probably just if there's anybody thinking about taking a running back, Jonathan Brooks might not be there when they pick at 56.
Yeah. So, especially since he did so good in your interview, Jarrah.
Dude, just
but okay, can we talk about Nick Saban just admitting the tampering on national TV? Holy hell.
Yeah, I got a little business to take care of. So if you guys need any kind of draft guide, draft hub, we've got one. Our draft HQ is on the front page of Horns 24/7. All the links, everything you need to know is all right there. I'm in the process as soon as we get done here. I've got some more links to do. CBS has done a mock draft for rounds 2 and 3 today. 5 Longhorns mocked to come off the board today. We'll get to that. I'll also put up, there's a 2025 mock draft. Ryan Wilson, our colleague at CBS, Jordan, put out his 2025 mock draft today. 2 Longhorns in that. We'll get to that. All of that's going to be in Horns 24/7 today. You get the Byron Murphy draft story, the Xavier Worthy draft story, all of our pre-draft content. You got the Chips Insider. I think Hank South just put up some portal intel. Am I right, Jordan? Did Hank's portal intel get published? I haven't checked.
Yeah, he did. Some little problems with our site right now.
Yeah, yes. Site's a little glitchy this morning, so apologize for that. But, hey, get over to Horns 24/7. Plenty of good stuff there. Also, the Horns 24/7 podcast feed. You should be subscribed to Texas Sports Unfiltered, YouTube, Facebook, the podcast feed. The Horns 24/7 podcast feed, though, Chip and Eric, their flagship podcast is up, and the Longhorn Blitz podcast is up for this week. So we didn't get to talk any draft on Longhorn Blitz because literally like 5 minutes into recording, the Terrence Brooks news dropped. So we spent a lot of time digesting the Terrence Brooks news and talking Texas defense, but I digress. So just get over to Horns 24/7 and check out everything. All right. So Jordan, yeah, Nick Saban, I'll be honest. When I found out that Norm Hitzkiss was going to be doing the, was going to be back on draft coverage for the Ticket, I'm like, that's appointment radio for me. I'm listening to Norm and Bob Sturm talk draft. So I just kept it on NFL Network and had the volume muted. I didn't watch the Nick Saban stuff. But, man, I think, one, unfiltered Nick Saban, like Nick Saban whose bag of Fs to give is empty. Give me all of that, as much of that as possible. And you can tell Nick Saban doesn't give any Fs because he went on national television in front of millions and millions of people and just openly admitted to tampering with Quinion Mitchell.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was – I didn't get to see it live. I just saw – so Mike Rodak, who's with our Bama 24/7 site, he, I think, was basically just, like, transcribing tweets from what Saban was saying on the mm-hmm. ABC broadcast with the rest of the game day guys. One of the tweets was Nick Saban on ABC about Toledo cornerback Quinion Mitchell. He was our number one guy in the portal last year to try to get him to come out of the portal, and he would never get in the portal, end quote. And it's like, hey, yo, coach, like pretty much everyone but you is still active in coaching.
Yeah, like, there are.
Chill out. Like if I'm Holman Wiggins, right. I would have, if I'm Holman Wiggins watching that, I'm, or literally anyone who has ever coached under Saban that's still active, I'm texting him being like, hey, motherfucker, like, I got this NDA over here. Cease and desist. Man, we got to relax.
People, so. Teams tamper, right? There's a question about it. But it's kind of like any unsavory activity, like, you know, I'll use my boy Rod Babers, his comparison. It's like going number one in the shower, right? You may do it, but you don't talk about it. You know, it's just kind of understood. If you do it, you do it, but you don't talk about it. Man, tampering is one of those deals. We're assuming everybody does it, but man, don't be talking about it. So, yeah man, it's dude, that was wild.
Yeah, it was wild. Like it made me switch from NFL Network to ABC for the rest of the draft. It was so wild because I wanted to hear what Saban had to say. Last night was a hilarious night on Twitter. Like I bookmarked a lot of different posts I want to go over.
Well,
there's not a lot. There's a couple.
We got some stuff to get into. One thing that I want to mention, and dude, it never fails. And I saw it again this morning. The 24/7 Sports, the official 24/7 Sports Twitter account, put up some numbers from last night, in terms of like the blue chip prospects drafted, 7 5 stars, 15 four stars, 22 of the top 32 picks in the first round were blue chip prospects. What's the first post? What is the first freaking reply to this tweet?
Stars, you know, take a wild ass guess.
And there were 10 3-stars drafted. Yeah. There are 10% of Division I of FBS scholarship players are 4- and 5-star guys. That means of the other 90%, 10 of y'all got drafted. From that 10%, 22 got drafted in the first round. So I just, dude, it never fails. It just pisses me off to no end. Some people don't get it, but you know. Jordan, it's one thing to draft to recruit blue chip guys. That's never been a problem for Texas. It's about developing those blue chip guys. And you know, in-house rankings, we had Byron Murphy as a 4-star. He ends up being a 1st-round pick. You know, Xavier Worthy was a top 247 guy. As a matter of fact, might have been a top 100 guy. I think he was like, I think he might have been actually 100 in the top 247. A.D. Mitchell was a 4-star. He's going to go in the first round, even though he recruited to Georgia, whatever. You know, Jatavion Sanders was a 5-star guy. He's going to get drafted at some point today. Our in-house rankings said Jonathan Brooks is a 4-star. He's going to get drafted today. I think everybody's seeing kind of the thing that I know I've written about it on the site a lot. We talked about it on Longhorn Blitz a lot. And I think I'm glad people are coming around to it, man. Player development's been the problem at Texas. That's been the issue. And there's a lot of stuff that branches out from there. But it's amazing, man. When you get blue chip guys and you develop them, it's amazing what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is. It is wild. And I know that there's not really going to be an end to this story that I'm about to tell. But in like March of 2022, I was still doing like full-time photography, videography. Mm-hmm. And me and this guy named Anthony Joaquin, who actually does like all of the social media presence for Juice. That's how I know him. This random sports agent DM'd me and Anthony wanted to take us out to lunch. So we went out to lunch with this guy and he's like, you know, I'm starting to rep some guys. I want you to shoot content for us. And I was, you know, curious who are some guys you're repping. And it was a bunch of guys who aren't even at Texas anymore. And then Byron Murphy. And I straight up told him, like, you need to keep Byron Murphy. I know he was a 3-star or whatever, but he's going to get drafted. And he's like, yeah, you know, that's the goal. And of course he lost him. And I have no idea where this dude is nowadays. But like, I remember that was after his freshman year. And I didn't even see Byron Murphy in high school. That was some like the very, like, he didn't play few snaps. We didn't play a ton of snaps as a freshman. And just from that, I was like, dude, he's going to be drafted. You can tell. And Byron Murphy was that early on. So, and I mean, shout out to them. You know, they set the tone, but big shoes to fill replacing them. So, but sorry. I'm just going to roll through these tweets right now. So Bud Elliott said last night, I know people think the NFL is fixed for Mahomes, but forcing the Broncos to take Bo Nick's 12th overall is a bit too obvious for me. And then another, this is just funny. So we all know Latu from UCLA, right? Went to the Colts, I think.
Yeah.
Most people, I think, were able to put it together based off how they talked about it on the broadcast. But Washington actually pushed him out of the program because they wouldn't clear him. I mean, they weren't comfortable clearing him, and he was taking up a scholarship. They literally pushed him out of the program and wouldn't clear him. So he went to UCLA. But if Latu and Trice were on opposite sides, could you imagine that?
F like, around, man.
Just ridiculous. Ridiculous. Tom Fornelli said, you got to draft Bo Nix now because next year's QB class is filled with Bo Nix. So a lot of these are Bo Nix jokes just because I'm not a huge fan of it. And this is the look of a man who knows he's not allowed to go back in Vegas and his family has no idea. And it was Brock Bowers' dad. I don't know if y'all noticed that. Brock Bowers' dad was getting nervous. Another thing, Jared Verse, right, who went to the Rams, which is a 49ers fan, not pleased that I had to play Jared Verse twice a year, Byron Murphy twice a year, Marvin Harrison Jr. twice a year.
Yeah, once you take the dumbass front offices in Atlanta and Denver for taking Michael Penix 8, you just gave Kirk Cousins $100 million guaranteed and didn't tell him you were taking a quarterback. By the way, you're going to take your quarterback of the future when you have to exercise his fifth-year option. He's going to be 28 years old. So good job with that, Atlanta. You've got a great offense. You can win a crappy division, but you're going to go with Michael Penix. And then, dude, I'm leaning towards at this point, man. Sean Payton might be – he's not a Jeff Fisher-level fraud because nobody is, but I'm leaning towards Sean Payton minus Drew Brees and Tony Romo to an extent. Sean Payton might just be a gigantic fraud.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm with it. I love how every time he does something stupid, someone just posts a video of him hitting the bong on Twitter. Diana Rossini, whatever it is, said, why would Atlanta use their 8th pick in the draft on a quarterback? Because the team believes they won't have a top pick with Cousins under center the next few years, and now is the time to get a great one. PFT from Barstool, who I'm not a huge fan of, but he is funny sometimes, quote tweeted and said, all time spin zone. We drafted a QB because our current QB is too good.
And, right?
It's true. Like, wait, what? So,
And it's yeah. I don't have it. It's not a problem with the player. I like Michael Penix. But Michael Penix is a guy that, like, dude, if you're the Raiders, right, you take Michael Penix because you feel like, okay, maybe we're a quarterback away. And if we get a quarterback on a rookie deal, get him in right now, we can maximize this little five-year window we have. You don't take Michael Penix thinking, hey, he's going to sit for 2 years behind Kirk Cousins. That no. doesn't make any sense. You had a chance.
And he's already like 26 too. So it's like.
Yeah. I've got a vested interest in the Falcons because I want to see Bijan Robinson's NFL career not be wasted. And it's like, man, with that offense and you just signed Kirk Cousins, who he's a stopgap. He's an upper tier stopgap quarterback, I think, is the best thing I can say about Kirk Cousins. I don't have a problem with Kirk Cousins, but you had a chance to draft, get your pick of any defensive player you wanted at that point. The board was free for you to do whatever you wanted. Whatever defensive player you wanted to get, you could have got him, but you went Penix and you hand delivered some, like, there was no reason for Jared Verse to last as long as he lasted. There's no reason for Dallas Turner to last as long as he lasted. As somebody whose favorite team is in the NFC East, yeah, not too happy that Quinion Mitchell got all the way down to the 20s where the Eagles could draft him. So, yeah, I don't know. We talk about quarterbacks being overdrafted, but in this class, in this year, dude, for six of them to go in the top 12, that's, if you want to do that, that's fine. And I'm a firm believer in, man, you got to take as many swings as you can. But the first time I ever said this, when I really realized it, was when the Broncos drafted Tim Tebow. And I was like, all right, you want to do that, go ahead. But Josh McDaniels and everybody in that front office needs to know that's the kind of pick you make, that if it doesn't work out, you get fired very quick. And I'm not that much of a believer in Bo Nix. I made my Drake May opinions known yesterday. Jaden Daniels, I think, is going to be a solid, fine NFL quarterback if he doesn't get himself killed. And I don't know, man. As I go back to the 21 class where Trevor Lawrence is the only one on the same team, and these teams just never learn, man. They never learn.
Nope, they don't. Another thing, it's hilarious that Jared Verse went first round last night when you realize he had to redshirt at Albany. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he redshirted at Albany. The COVID year happened in 2020. He gained 42 pounds. Florida State noticed him because they're scouting Syracuse and were like, yo, who the hell is this Albany DN?
Right.
And they started tampering with him, got him to go in the portal, and then he was their best D lineman the last 2 years and just went top 20 overall. Another banger tweet I saw, the Chiefs receiver room is crazy. Hollywood Brown, 4.27 40. Xavier Worthy, 4.21 40. Rashee Rice, 119 miles per hour. and someone said, the draft is an incredible experiment because they give the bad teams high picks to create parity, and then they do stuff like draft Bo Nix, and then literally every defensive player in the draft falls to the playoff teams.
Dude, it's like the fact – so going back to the Cowboys real quick, like the dumbass quarterback decisions that were made. So by the way, man, the same thing with the Giants. Like, different front office people. The New York Giants need a quarterback. They need a quarterback. Daniel Jones, you're not going anywhere with Daniel Jones. And they didn't have to do anything. Jordan, like, J.J. McCarthy fell into their lap. I'm like, oh, dude, well, J.J. McCarthy's going to the Giants. And again, I don't have a problem. I think Malik Nabers is a good player. But you need a quarterback. Like, he's right there. There's a difference between reaching for a quarterback, doing something you shouldn't do, and being like, you know what, we have to do it. We have to pull the trigger. And the Giants didn't do it. I would have much rather that. And now you let J.J. McCarthy ends up in the Vikings. So, yeah, you're going to give him Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and this great group of skill guys. Yeah, it ain't going to shock me if J.J. McCarthy. It won't shock me if J.J. McCarthy ends up having the best career out of the six quarterbacks taken last night.
I would hate to see it. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm a big time hater for J.J. McCarthy. Not hater. Like, I don't go out of my way to root against him, but it's just like, I don't think he's what other people think he is. And that's hating.
That's what I think. That's what I think about Drake May. Like, I
do see some of that. It's also like, This might just me showing my age a little bit. But can you name one quarterback Mac Brown has produced that did a damn thing in the NFL? I know Jeff Fisher screwed Vince. I know Colt was with Cleveland, had injury problems. But seriously, I cannot think.
No.
Sam Howell hasn't done jack squat.
No, and I blame – well, to tell you the truth, I blame – that's not a Mac Brown thing to me. And no, I'm not carrying Mac's water. I'm not defending Mac. That's a Phil Longo problem. Like, the when I realized – and look, Phil Longo's offenses have put up insane numbers. But when I heard A.J. Brown talk about, yeah, at Ole Miss, we didn't really have routes. We didn't have a route tree. We just kind of ran around and made up our own routes. I'm like, all right, well, that's cool. But if you're a quarterback, like, you're not playing in any kind of – there is no structure, right? So it's no surprise to me that, like, Sam Howell took some time getting adapted to the NFL. I mean, have any of those Ole Miss quarterbacks panned out that Phil Longo had at Ole Miss? No, Sam Howell's already been replaced in Washington, and I'm not a believer in Drake May. Drake May goes from playing in that Phil Longo offense where there's zero structure to, you know, you throw Chip Lindsey in there, which is more structured. And like I just felt like Drake May regressed is a harsh word, but I didn't see the improvement I wanted to see from Drake May during his career.
By the way. Here is Fontenot from the Falcons on Penix from Mark. This is a real Twitter account from Mark Raimondi, who's the Falcons beat reporter for ESPN.
Okay.
The full quote: if you believe in a quarterback, you have to take him. And if he sits for 4 or 5 years, that's a great problem to have because we're doing so well at that position. So it's as simple as if you see a guy you believe in at that position, you have to take him. That's a full quote.
No, that's not how the NFL works now.
Nope. Yeah. Also, did anyone see this photo of Kool-Aid McKinstry in this draft room in Birmingham?
No.
This dude next to him is not on Earth. What are some other ones?
Hey, shout out to Xavier Worthy for having his draft party in Dripping Springs, by the way, in the Dirty Drip.
They're in Drip. I was wondering where they were at. Whereas someone made a joke about Florida State filing a grievance because Keon didn't go top 10. Keon Coleman. Someone said Penix is only 19 months younger than Kirk Cousins.
Dude, it's – yeah, CB, put the CB comment up on the screen, Jordan. Yeah, if John Gruden didn't nearly kill Chris Sims – I thought Chris Sims was on his way to being a pretty – I'm not saying Chris Sims would have won a Super Bowl, but he was on his way to being a pretty solid NFL quarterback. But, like, have you ever heard Chris Sims talk about his relationship with John Gruden? Like, Gruden drafted him and then, like, hated him. It was like, why'd you draft a guy that you hate? And then, yeah, Chris Sims ruptured his spleen during a game and still played. And I don't know, man. John Gruden – speaking of coaches who are frauds, man, John Gruden won a Super Bowl with a team that Tony Dungy built and, like, just leached off of that for the rest of his career.
Yeah. I don't know. I know Gruden clearly knows what he's talking about, but I've never been a huge fan of his whenever he was doing even a ton of media stuff.
There's two kinds of coaches, man. I say it like this. This is my problem with Gruden. There's two kinds of coaches, right? And both these guys come from the same school, right? They come from the same tree. They're from the Mike Holmgren tree, which is the Bill Walsh tree. There's Andy Reid, and there's John Gruden. The reason why Andy Reid has continued to be successful and is more successful than he was when he was in Philadelphia, Andy Reid has adapted. Andy Reid studies college football. Andy Reid understands where the game is going. He's a football theorist. He's able to take it apart and dissect it and can kind of see trends before they come. John Gruden is just so set in his ways that this is the West Coast offense and this is the way it works and this is the way I've always done it. And that's why it didn't work out in Oakland. That's why, you know, he never got back to the same point he was in the Super Bowl year in Tampa. It's just John Gruden, when he was with the Raiders and those first couple years in Tampa, it was right guy, right place, right time. But John Gruden never evolved as a coach.
Would you say Gruden is the Doc Rivers of football?
Ooh, man, it's either, honestly, man, it's either John Gruden or Sean Payton. Because, man, I'll give Sean Payton a little more credit than that. Sean Payton's a Parcells guy, so I want to go easier on him. But, man, Sean Payton without Drew Brees is not pretty.
It's not pretty. I'll tell you what isn't pretty. When you ask when you're asked how far your family has came with your son who just went first round. And you say, we came from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. not a great look.
Is that Brian Thomas's mom?
Yeah, she ain't no better, but I mean, she should have known better. If you know better, you move better. Blake would say.
You know,
it was hilarious. It was hilarious. We came from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
You want to talk about some of the Texas guys, Jordan? What the forecast looks like for today?
Yeah, I got to look at this order of picks for the second round because, like, there's no way the Bills aren't just calling Cincinnati like, hey, T. Higgins. You know what I mean? All damn day. They're doing that shit all day.
So
there's no way they aren't.
The Bills are going to start it off today with pick 33. Our colleague Chris Trapasso at CBS, he's got a round 2 and 3 mock. He's got A.D. Mitchell going with the second pick of round 2 going to the Patriots. And by the way, in the first few picks, Ladd McConkey at 33, A.D. Mitchell at 34, Keon Coleman at 37. So you're going to see some receivers, offensive line going to come off the board too. Chris has Jatavion Sanders mocked to the Dolphins at 55, and that's a spot for JT Sanders, Jordan. I've seen a lot lately. So I don't know if the Dolphins are sending out smoke screens or if, you know, people are picking up on the fact that the Dolphins really like JT Sanders. I know, hey, Mike McDaniel was at his pro day, so he got up close and personal look at Jatavion Sanders. So Chris Trapasso's got Jatavion Sanders going 55 to Miami. This mock has actually the Cowboys taking Zach Frazier from West Virginia and Jonathan Brooks going 58 to Green Bay, which actually, if you want to know the truth, that's a pretty damn good spot for Jonathan Brooks if it works out. As much as I want to see him with the Cowboys, because if you're the Packers, you just moved on from Aaron Jones. You're going to have Josh Jacobs in there. Who knows how much longer Josh Jacobs has, but you don't have to have Jonathan Brooks come in and hope he's ready to go and be the guy from day one. You just kind of ease him in there. And then if you decide to move on from Josh Jacobs after the year, I don't know what his contract looks like, what the cap hit would be or anything. So that's three Longhorns right there going in the second round today. And this is your guy, Jordan. You said you were interested to see where he goes, who takes him, what happens to him. This mock has Christian Jones going 63 overall, not next to last pick in the second round to your San Francisco 49ers. You know the 49ers are looking for offensive line help. Man, I just, the fact that we're talking about Christian Jones being a top 100 pick, the fact that he could go in the second round, I can't say it enough, dude. That blows my flipping mind compared to if you ask me in 2021 at any point during that season, hey, when Christian Jones comes out for the draft, he's going to be a second round pick. Dude, I'd have gone to Vegas and run with that or bet you whatever. I'd have bet the house on that.
Yeah. No, I really am hoping against what you said wouldn't be a bad fit for Jonathan Brooks. You don't want to have him living in Green Bay, man. Come on now. Living in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and like playing in the cold, all that. That's two picks after the Cowboys. And it, like I'm telling y'all right now, if he's available at 56,
I know
they're drafting him. So maybe you should call our colleague, whoever made this at CBS, and be like, hey, mister.
Dude. Look.
By the way, does it not scare you that Cooper DeJean is mocked number 53 to the Eagles in this? Like, can you imagine if they sign if they draft Quinyon Mitchell and the coldest white boy in the whole draft?
How do they get so lucky in the draft every year? Like, they don't have to do anything. They just, like, sit there or they're able to move up. Like, dude, it pisses me off how good Howie Roseman and that Eagles front office are running the draft.
Yeah.
Because I hate the Eagles so much.
I said I didn't want to bother Nick last night, but I did text him. Whenever the Philly drafted Quinyon Mitchell, just seeing the way he walked from the green room to the stage, the swag he had, and the click, because I didn't watch Toledo. I'm not going to lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
I just texted him and said, Dallas is fucked. The motherfucker Philly just drafted is going to start for them for a decade. I can tell just how he walks. He's a demon. So,
well,
if they get Cooper DeJean with him too, it's over with. Cancel Christmas.
I tell you what, though, the Chris Trapasso mock that I'm talking about at CBS, in the third round, he's got Devondre Sweat going 91st overall to Green Bay. You want to talk about somebody in this Texas draft class that probably needs to be in Green Bay, Wisconsin? That might be the best thing for Devondre Sweat.
No, real shit.
All you got to ain't nothing else. That's why, look, man, that's why I fit right at home in Milwaukee, dude. Everybody in Milwaukee's fat, because in the wintertime for 9 months out of the year, ain't nothing to do but stay inside, eat, and drink beer because there's 3 feet of snow on the ground.
Yeah, like shit. Send Devondre to Buffalo or something.
All you got to do is focus on football. There ain't nothing else.
Yeah, I'm kind of, again, didn't pay much attention to the draft lead up this year, but like, why is Kool-Aid McKinstry not mocked till pick 51?
Dude, I think it's just the need for corners. I think there's going to be a run on receivers today. I think there's going to be a run probably on interior offensive linemen today. I really like, and I've heard people around the league talk about this. Not that I'm talking to people in the league, but like in interviews and stuff, you hear like GMs and coaches, they love the draft. So the draft went to this format. I think 2010 was the first year they went to this format with drafts on Thursday night, the first round, and then 2 and 3 are on Friday. That it really helps you because you get to kind of treat today like it's the first round all over again. You get to reset your board, get a look at where everybody is, and you can wheel and deal and really maximize these two rounds. On the Cowboys, though, with Jonathan Brooks, here's how the Cowboys do their drafts, Jordan. If there's a Cowboys person out there that can convince me I'm wrong, please do, because I don't think I am. I really think one of their top 100 picks, and it's usually the second round pick, they usually give Jerry one pick and they're like, all right, you're allowed to make this pick. This pick is your pick. Let us do the rest of the draft the way we want to. You can go make this pick. And that's how, like, they ended up with, like, Jalen Smith with like, drop foot going in the second round and all these other crazy-ass picks they've had in the second round. That's Jerry's pick. Jonathan Brooks is going to be Jerry's pick this year.
Yeah, well, if he's there.
Jerry's already said that. I think that's where it's coming from. That's what Jerry's saying. Jerry's like, I'm taking Jonathan Brooks at 56. Nobody tackle me when I'm on the phone calling it in. Jonathan Brooks is my pick at 56. I'm like, all right, you get one. When leave Will McClay and the scouting staff alone to do their job for the rest of the draft.
Be hilarious if he really wanted to be Jerry for the culture. And I was like, Paxton, we're going to go get one of your teammates. And he's like, whoop, yep. Excited for Mr. Brooks. He's coming back.
Like,
and then Jerry's going to flip over that card and he's going to push it and show his grandson. And it's going to say JETT/BUSH.
Oh, no.
Can you imagine?
Hey. That's pass rush specialist Jeb Bush. Watch him out. Yeah. Man, did it not feel like Jet Bush had like 10 sacks last year?
Fuck no, it did.
Dude, it did to me. Like every,
what?
It seemed like every time I'm seeing Jet Bush make a play, like he's like getting a sack or forcing an incomplete pass.
I can't believe you said that.
It felt like Jet Bush. It felt like Jet Bush had a big year to me. I remember
the one game I went to with my dad this year. It was a Kansas State game at home. And I forget what play it was, but Jet Bush made this play.
Yeah.
That was so good for Jet Bush that I turned to my dad and said, I genuinely think that's the best play he's made in 4 years.
I say that because...
And like, I hear three rows behind me, someone drunk as shit turned to his buddy and goes, that's the best play 43 has ever made at Texas.
Man.
And I turned around, I'm like, I just said that, and I high-fived some random fan.
Was it I think it was the Alabama game. Yeah, it was the Bama game. Y'all were all in our group text. Everybody's talking shit about Jet Bush. Like, oh, God, I can't believe Jet Bush is playing. And then, like, right as soon as everybody started talking smack, I think it was the Bama game, I think Jet Bush got in on a sack. He got, like, a half a sack or forced an incompletion, rushed a throw. I'm like, hey, y'all be watching your mouths about pass rush specialist Jett Bush right there. Yeah. Bring him in to bring him. You want to bring heat on the quarterback, you get Jett Bush in the game.
Where is he from originally?
Jett Bush was a strict Jesuit guy. And that was Jett Bush, I believe. That was a time where I want to say Bob Shipley, I think, was running the walk-on, preferred walk-on program. I think it was Bob Shipley and J.M. Jones were running the walk-on program at that time. Texas actually, they had a pretty good track record of getting preferred walk-ons recently. As much as you can.
Yeah, Jett Bush and Bender. Pretty good. Yeah, he did look like shit. He looked like Ricky Williams after he got that foot interception, but yeah, no.
No, I kid, I jest, but no, it's I just thought it was funny that one instance where it was like, oh man, Jett Bush is terrible. Then he like makes a play. I'm like, hey, y'all leave Jett Bush alone. Let him have his moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, well, you know Texas is going in a really good direction as a program when there's less like Brecken Hagers and Jett Bushes, I guess, to kind of make fun of. Because it means better players are on the field.
Do you just want to just run down the list of every significant white guy? Like Jake Bayless in the chat said Dylan Haynes. You just want to run down every significant white guy that's played high leverage snaps for Texas in the last 10, 12 years?
Dylan Haynes, the pride of Lago Vista.
I'm glad. Like, next thing you're going to say, man, there's no Ty Templins walking around on this roster anymore or whatever. You're just going to start.
Yeah, I don't. That one went over my head. I can only name, we're not using Michael Taft. Michael Taft to this day is the best peewee football player I've ever seen in my life. I don't give a shit. We played each other, and he would always play.
Jake Oliver was a scholarship guy, CB, out of high school, so he didn't count.
Man, what was the name of that dude Herman always threw in at receiver for no
F? Time money, baby.
Yes. My dad would always be like, Jordan, your twin brother's better than this guy. So, Brett Robin. Hey, fun fact, Brett Robin's son.
Brett Robin, my bad.
Believe it or not, Brett Robin's two sons. Guess who they were best friends with?
Sam Ellinger.
One is currently a freshman at Texas Tech. He'll finish his freshman year in like this month or next month. The other will be a freshman at Texas Tech in the fall.
I have no idea.
They're Micah Hudson's best friend.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. So he works out at the, I don't know, all the medical stuff out in Temple, and raised his family there. They, all his kids are in the Lake Belton high school.
Oh, that's right. Brett Robin's a doctor now, isn't he?
Yeah. And so Micah was always over at their house, and they had Texas stuff all in and out throughout the house. So I thought that was another funny part of the story for his recruitment. But yeah, so, and I actually mentioned Brett, it's funny you bring that up, because I actually mentioned Brett Robin, in a story I wrote yesterday about, just five storylines on 2026. It actually had over 4,000 words, which I was like, damn, everyone's going to look at this and just be like, 26. I don't care about that. The portal's open, but, a lot of great stuff on the rising junior class. So, go check that out, and I'll have five more storylines out later today, but. Yeah.
So I gave you the mock for today from CBS, and I'll go ahead and do this. CBS has a mock out for next year's draft, and two Longhorns.
Oh, no.
Would you like to take a wild guess, Jordan, at which two Longhorns are in the 2025 mock draft?
That Quinn Ewers guy?
That'd be Quinion Ewers.
Quintavious Ewers.
Going to,
which one are you looking at? Just curious.
It's CBS Sports. It's okay. Ryan Wilson's mock draft that came out this morning. Quinn Ewers, how about this? 12 overall in this mock draft, replacing Baker money maker in Tampa Bay. And Kelvin Banks.
Hey, Jackson.
In this mock, Kelvin Banks goes 21 to the Jets.
How old is this? Denver Harris is on this mock draft.
It just came out this morning.
This is horse shit. This respectfully, Denver Harris is not going first round. It says LSU. He's not even out of LSU. He's at UTSA.
I know, but
I'm sorry. Oh my god. Jeff, scroll to number 25.
You know what? If that happens, I feel like if that happens, something went terribly wrong this year.
Yeah. Well, by the way, y'all, CBS Sports, their projected number 25 pick to the Dallas Cowboys, former Texas commit Jalen Milroe.
I feel like something went terribly wrong with the Cowboys are drafting a quarterback in round one next year. I get you want to draft the heir apparent to Dak, but I don't know, man.
Yep. So before we get out of here,
a mock draft, 2025 mock drafts.
Yeah, hell no. I wasn't really looking at it seriously. But once I saw Denver Harris, I saw his face before I even saw his name. I was like, okay, like this is not serious.
And you know, honestly, seriously, not joking. You know what my first thought was when I scrolled down and saw that? It's like when you said, which one are you looking at? I'm like, Jordan's about to just shit all over this.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, I gotta say what I think.
Hey, by the way, chat, that wasn't clearance to just name every white walk-on Texas has had in the last decade. All right.
Well, Mark
Crawford, Garrett Graff, Court Jaquist, like, hey, y'all leave some of those cats alone.
They're only at like 2% of them.
Court Jaquist started a bowl game, dude. You gotta start in the Alamo Bowl against Utah.
At what?
Linebacker. They were, believe it or not, Jordan, as hard as this might be to fathom, they were trying to get through to Juwan Mitchell.
Oh, yeah. Juwan Mitchell.
They were trying to send a message to Juwan Mitchell, who actually, you know what, tell you the truth. No, that was the following year. He got suspended for a targeting penalty in the K-State game.
Didn't he get suspended for targeting like twice at Texas or something?
Yes. The K-State one got him benched for the first half of the Alamo Bowl against Colorado. And he had one earlier that year against TCU that I want to say, did that set up a TCU touchdown maybe in that loss they had to TCU? I don't remember. But yeah, he got popped for a couple of targeting penalties.
Oh, how? I'm trying to figure out what the hell he's doing now. Hold
Juwan Mitchell, man, he went to Tennessee and then.
He's at Colorado, but I'm trying. Okay, never mind.
I don't think he ever made it to Colorado. Well, no, I thought I saw him playing for Colorado.
Yeah, he played for him because
he's got to be out of eligibility. There's no way he's got eligibility left.
Yeah. Let's see. Damn, he went to. He's a modern day kid.
Juwan Mitchell. No, Juwan Mitchell's from New Jersey.
It says modern day high school. I think in Middletown, New Jersey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then he went to Fort Scott Community College, Butler Community College, Texas, Tennessee, Arizona State, Colorado.
Holy shit. Juwan Mitchell, I remember Chris Ash recruited Juwan Mitchell when Chris Ash was a head coach at Rutgers.
Yeah.
That's how long Juwan Mitchell's been in college. I'm not even 100% sure where Chris Ash is right now. Last I knew, he was with the Raiders, but I don't know if he's still with the Raiders or not.
He was committed. Yeah, committed to Rutgers. Signed his letter of intent in 2018, but decommitted in January because he had to do all JUCO. Also was committed to Minnesota. Wow. Damn, I completely forgot about him, to be honest with you.
Nice little couple of Juwan Mitchell fun facts during the show today. So,
But I guess, by the way, before we get out of here, again, dealing with a little bit of problems with the site. So it's on the board instead of kind of article format. But Michigan State's D-line transfer, Simeon Barrow, he's going to come in on a visit next week. So working to pin that down. He also has a teammate blanking on his name. I got it right here. Derek Harmon, who is another guy that, you know, talking to. Some of our sources in Austin, there's some interest there as well. right now it doesn't seem like it's nearly as much interest to the degree of Barrow. But
I think,
you know,
the Derek Harmon thing might come down to I feel like I can safely say this in the age of NIL. I think that could be a salary cap decision, Jordan.
Yeah. And speaking of salary cap, like, look, I've talked about a lot. Texas has money to match anything with anyone. But like for Dominic Williams, for example, that number is going to be over $600,000 of what he's going to make next year. Can Texas pay that? Hell yeah, easily, easily. But he's going to go see LSU in Missouri. Missouri doesn't have a stable in-state recruiting area. They have to go out of state. How do you get out of state, guys, right? Y'all can read between the lines of what I'm saying. So Missouri is someone who will often reset the market at some positions in NIL. Texas will never, ever, ever do that. So that being said, Dominic Williams, I personally am not feeling too great just because I'm expecting Missouri to throw like the effing house, kitchen sink, and whatever else at them and effectively resetting the defensive tackle market. Where Texas, I don't ever see them doing that. So,
yeah.
Going to be interested to see how things work out with these cats from Michigan State. There's also some other names they're looking at right now, but not I really want to report right now. But, you know, it's fluid. And guys have until the 30th, I believe, to put their name in. So
unless you're a grad transfer, unless you can graduate, then you can go in whenever.
True. So, but, I mean, hey, they already got Bill Norton, 6'6", 325-pounder, little stuff in the middle. So you know, they're already making adjustments and figuring out how to go.
Eric, how do you feel about as Eric and Keenan come in? False start coming up next. Eric, how do you feel about Quinn Ewers being mocked to the Bucks next year in the first round?
Jeff, you know what's funny is I have been anticipating that pick for the better part of the last 18 months, just knowing the Bucks and kind of that organization a bit. I'm not even joking, Jeff. Like, I have been anticipating, but if you ask me as a Bucks fan how I feel about it, I still don't have the best read on Quinn as a pro prospect. I mean, is he, put you this way, do I think Quinn Ewers ever becomes one of the 8 to 10 guys who can deliver you a championship just because you have them behind center? I don't feel that way right now. That doesn't mean that you can't win one with him, right? If you surround him with talent. I know it's kind of cliche, right? Because all quarterbacks need to be surrounded by something, right? But do I think Quinn ever becomes that top 8 quarterback that, like, look, you have this guy. As long as he steps on the field, you know you have a shot. I still don't feel that way yet. Who knows? Maybe fast forward 12 months from now, I could feel different. But that's my thoughts, Jeff.
I called John Gruden a fraud. How does that make you feel?
John Gruden is a fraud. I mean, listen.
Glad we're on the same page.
Listen, I as someone who you don't even know this about me, Jeff. I went to school with Tony Dungy's son, one of his sons, who unfortunately ended up passing away at a young age. But I'm saying all that to say, I knew a bunch of people who kind of ran in those circles and like the Deuce Grudens and whatnot, because we're all kind of like mid-2000s Tampa kids.
Yeah,
and yeah, I mean, John, the TV personality, John Gruden, there's a reason why, you know, so many of his players thought he was a phony guy. Like, because he kind of, that TV personality was who he was. So, yeah, no pushback here. Really quick before, Jeff, you and Jordan get out of here, and we're going to touch on this on our show. Did you see that video, speaking of Jordan talking about money to secure things and whatnot? That video of David Tepper?
No.
Okay. Jeff, Jordan, look this up. As soon as you get off the show, David Tepper, a restaurant in Carolina, basically said, let the coach and GM make the pick, not the owner. David Tepper saw the sign past the restaurant, walks in the restaurant, and proceeds to, like, in the most billionaire hedge fund manager way, take this dude's hat off his head, which is a Panthers hat, toss it on the table, and then, like, just go after him in the most billionaire way possible.
It's
just,
what a loser, man.
There's a video of it.
Just Google David Tepper restaurant or on Twitter. And you'll see it.
Didn't Tepper throw a drink at somebody?
Tepper threw a drink at a fan.
So right before the draft at like 6:55, I saw someone tweet
a photo of the sign and a photo of the restaurant. And the tweet was like, y'all probably won't believe me, but Tepper just came in here and like caused a huge fucking scene because of the sign. And everyone was like, are there video? Are there photos? We don't believe you. And that was the last I heard about it until you brought this up. So that's why I'm like, there's a video, right?
What a loser. What a thin-skinned douche. That's so funny.
At least the owner of my favorite franchise limits himself to allegedly knocking up flight attendants in private and not...
Who are you talking spectacle about?
Himself. Getting caught on Harry Hines.
Harry Hines, baby.
I said, man, Jerry gets one draft pick a year, and he's trying real hard to sabotage the Jonathan Brooks thing. Like, dude, we know you like Jonathan Brooks. Just you please shut up about it. Not anything. Because if he's not there at 56, and Jonathan Brooks is wearing an Eagles jersey, I'm going to be all kinds of pissed off.
All right, fellas.
All right, guys. Joe, again, get over to Horse 24/7, our draft HQ. We got all the links you need. Everything is right there. So we'll turn it over to Fall Star, Keenan and Eric. You guys take it home. Everybody enjoy your weekend.